I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, get 10% off.
I have a new theory. It's a good theory. It's a good prediction. And look, we all know who the Oracle is. I'm about to hit you with it tonight. Also, have you pulled your kids out of government schools yet? Have you moved to a red state yet? That and more coming up right now on I'm Right. I want you to know that I'm willing to do this for you every single night, but it is a tremendous burden seeing the future. I mean, it's not all it's cracked up to be, being the Oracle as I am. As you know, I've been right time and time and time and time again, and there's something else brewing, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm almost there, and here's what I mean. Joe Biden, it's not a secret what's going on. You watch this show, you know what's going on. You knew what was going on during the election. You knew what was going on after the election. You know what's going on right now. Joe Biden is not mentally okay. I am not a doctor. I've obviously had a couple jabs at him, but I'm not a doctor. I don't know whether it's dementia, Alzheimer's, whether he's just getting old and losing it. I don't know. But I do know this, that is not a man who's completely in control of his mental facilities anymore. He's just, he can't do it. We know this. This is not news. But here's what I thought. I thought Democrats would kind of do the Weekend at Bernie's thing and prop him up in the air and then get him into office and then give him a year. Why a year? I just think it's a nice round number. And it's not so obvious if you hold him in there for a year. It's not so obvious that, he was never all there, but now let's get him out of there. You know, if they dump him right now, it's pretty obvious, right? We ran somebody who can't do the job. Get him out, get someone else in. Give him a year. Let him save face, tell everybody I was president. Then, of course, Jill will be there holding his arm. He was president. And then get him out. I'm changing my theory. I don't think he's going to be given a year. There's too much going on. And I'm not only talking about Joe Biden's performance recently, which we'll go into here in just a second. I'm talking about his own party starting to do things. And they've previously done things too that you may have forgot about. We'll bring that up in a second. I think they want Joe gone sooner rather than later. The truth is this. The president of the United States of America carries a big stick. He has a big bully pulpit. What he says matters a lot. He is very much the spokesman of your party. And once you get him in there, maybe you convinced yourself if you were a Democrat, you could get him in there. And well, let's get him some good advisors and we'll keep him in the basement for a while. We'll let him emerge for a minute. And of course, Dr. Jill will step in whenever he flubs up. But I think maybe they're starting to realize this looks way too bad. This looks way too bad because He's already had these huge screw-ups. And when I say huge screw-ups, I'm not talking about just screwing up his words. He does that all the time, where he looks lost. And you'll see him when he walks. And I'm genuinely not making fun of him, because when you get old, and we're all going to get old, sometimes this happens. And look, things like Alzheimer's and dementia are not things to joke about. In all seriousness, that they're not. But you can see him when he walks, it kind of holds his mouth open like that and shuffles along. He doesn't look right. It's not that he doesn't look good. He's an old man. He doesn't look right. It looks like something's off. And they did something to him. I've never seen this in my lifetime. I don't know if it's been done in my lifetime, but he was doing a virtual Q&A, because they're already starting to feel the heat about never doing a press conference. Why isn't Joe doing a press conference? They're hearing it from people like me. Why is Jill there jumping in? Pipe down. What does Joe Biden have to say? He decides to do a little virtual Q&A. And I'm gonna play this for you a couple times, because I want you to watch out for a couple things. But watch what happens when he tries to take questions.
Thank you. And I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
That's real. That's not edited. I'm happy to take questions if that's what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? Beep. Cut. We're done here. And Joe Biden didn't have his finger on the button. Somebody backstage said, oh, no. Cut the feed. He's going to take questions. Cut the feed. And it's, look, if that was one incident, maybe you could say, maybe as Microsoft is updating like Microsoft is always doing. This is a pattern. But there's one other thing. Before I get to everything else, there's one other thing I want you to catch here. And I want you to picture this, because you and I are, we get desensitized to things. It's human nature. You get used to certain things. We're desensitized to Joe Biden being kind of old and lost and useless and really just kind of going along with whatever. I want you to listen to what he says here again. Listen to this closely.
Thank you. And I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do. Does that sound like a man who's in charge to you? Does that sound like the leader of the free world to you? Does that sound like the most powerful man in the United States of America? Look, pick your president you love. I don't care whether it's Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bush, JFK. I don't care if you're a Nixon fan. Whatever president pops into your mind, could you picture any of them saying, I'll do it if that's what you want me to do? This is not a man in charge of anything. This is a man who should be receiving long-term care. And the best part about this is, because he hasn't done a press conference, even left-wing hardcores who love the fact that he's there and hated Trump and Trump's the devil and let's get in Joe Biden, it'll be glorious, they're starting to get salty about the fact, I don't have access to this guy. Nobody has access to this guy. Remember, I've done interviews with people, with insiders on the White House before, and I've talked to them privately, and they're telling me privately. I always tell you when I get this inside info, I can share. They're saying privately, Jen Psaki, we make fun of her all the time, and rightfully so. Jen Psaki, part of the reason she looks so lost, she doesn't have access to Joe Biden. That is the rumor, that she can't get briefed. She looks lost because how am I supposed to tell you Joe's position? I don't talk to Joe. That's how bad it's gotten. And like I said, even people like Jake Tapper are even picking up on this. But you want to know why? You want to know why you get cut off from questions if you're Joe Biden? Why someone in the back cuts the power? Because this was the day before.
Listen, hang on.
I've been cautioned not to give an answer to that because we don't know for sure. But my hope is, by this time next year, we're going to be back to normal, and before that, my hope. But again, it depends upon if people continue to be smart and understand that we still can have significant losses. There's a lot we have to do yet. So thank you.
Did you receive a briefing about the border today?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn?
A lot.
Is there a crisis at the border?
Not exactly a great moment there. You have eyes. I don't expect you to be a doctor, but you have eyes. You can see how he's been led around. It's really obvious when you see him walking places how he's led around, sometimes by his wife, sometimes by a staffer. Sometimes they're holding his arm as he shuffles along. Jill Biden jumping in and speaking for him when he's flubbing up an interview. And this is the reason I have this theory. I have this theory that they're getting ready to dump him earlier. I see them prepping the ground for it. Here, you know what this is? This is a bipartisan list of senators who decided Joe Biden should have his war powers reined in. Bipartisan list of senators. And the senator who headed that up? Democrat Tim Kaine. When do you ever see Democrats break ranks like that? That never happens, especially from established Democrats like Tim Kaine. You don't see that. Now they're trying to take away his war powers. You may remember October, Nancy Pelosi. The House of Representatives did something interesting. Look.
This is not about President Trump. He will face the judgment of the voters. But he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents. The 25th Amendment creates a path for preserving stability if a president suffers a crippling physical or mental problem and is, unquote, in the amendment, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office.
How about that? Old Nance even came out and said, it's not about President Trump. Look, this is just for anything that might happen in the future. I think they want him gone. I think they know he's a long-term liability. He can't be a proper spokesman for the party. And I realize Kamala Harris is horrific and not really popular in any circle at all. But she can function. She can answer questions. Joe Biden has a bad habit of saying the quiet part out loud because he no longer has that filter you should have. And let's not forget about the Hunter Biden stuff. This stuff has not gone away. We like to think it has because the media, of course, won't cover it anymore. But there are active investigations into Hunter Biden. Not only are there active investigations into Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's tied to some of those. Now, they're not investigating Joe Biden, but Joe Biden's fingerprints are all over some of this Hunter Biden stuff. These gifts from China, this trip to China. Remember, he was on the jet with Daddy when he made those trips. Remember, we have a witness, Tony Bobulinski, a witness, a credible witness whose information was verified, talking about kickups to Joe Biden. Maybe there's a storm coming. Maybe between Joe Biden's mental abilities and this investigation, maybe Democrats have won the election, looked around and said to themselves, you know, I know it doesn't look good. Maybe we just ought to tear that Band-Aid off and chuck Joe out the back door before this gets any worse. I don't think he lasts a year. I think Democrats already have plans. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, the FBI has something they're extremely worried about, and it's home title theft. The reason they're extremely worried about it, the reason law enforcement is so worried about this, is there's not an effective way to stop it until it's too late. You see your home titles online, and anyone who's a computer expert will tell you today, if it's online, it can be hacked. I know we don't like to think about that, but it's true. So your home title is vulnerable. Yours. It's online. If they hack into it, they'll forge your signature on it, go take a loan out against it, and you will have to pay that loan back. And There's nothing law enforcement can do except chase them after they're gone. You're still on the hook. Unless you have home title lock, they will stop it. They will pick up on any tampering and stop it right away. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That'll get you 30 days of free protection. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. Get your kids out of government schools. I know you've heard me say it 1,000 times. By this point in time, I hope when I start saying it, you are simultaneously rolling your eyes but saying it along with me. Get your kids out of government schools. They are not fixable at this point. Your kids are your responsibility to raise and educate. You cannot send your children for 7-8 hours a day into these institutions. I'm not judging either. Everybody has their own situation. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't. I get that. There's no judgment here. I'm certainly not one to judge anybody else's parenting. But if at all humanly possible, get your kids out of government schools. You know, I've told you 1,000 times, these people are communists. They are cultural Marxists. Communists have never once looked at the youth of a nation and thought to themselves, well, let's let them grow up first. I mean, let them find themselves and then we'll teach them about communism. That's not how they think. They don't think like that. That's how you think. And you know what? Good for you. That's a healthy way to think. Communists do not think like that. They look at kids, yours. They look at mine and they say, we got to get in there. We got to teach him now. We have to teach him now to be a good little servant of the state. And how are you going to teach somebody that here in America? Well, as I've said before, we have cultural Marxists here because we don't have bread lines. You know, you can sell regular old-fashioned communism in the Soviet Union when they're waiting in line for a loaf of bread. No one's waiting in line for a loaf of bread here. What do we have here? Well, we have a bunch of people who've been taught white guilt their whole lives. So you're evil. Purvis Middle School in Mississippi under fire for this. They had a slave letter writing activity. You see it there. I'm not making these things up. New Jersey, their schools will now teach equity, unconscious bias, and economic inequality to kindergartners. This is the New Jersey Diversity and Inclusion Law. The instruction, opposed by several Republicans, will promote diversity, equity, inclusion, tolerance, and belonging in connection with gender and sexual orientation, race and ethnicity, disabilities, and religious tolerance. It also directs schools to examine the impact that unconscious bias and economic disparities have at both an individual level and on society as a whole. Please understand me. Communists are all the same. America's communists are no different than communists have always been. They want your kids. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to wake you up. And that little communist kindergarten teacher of yours, sixth grade, ninth grade, senior in high school, without question, college, they don't stand in front of your kids' class and say to themselves, I'm going to teach them math today. They stand in front of your child's class and say, how can I teach them about communism today? How can I teach them that they're evil for their skin color or their sexual orientation or whatever I have to teach them? That's what I'm going to do to push communism. That's how they think. They don't separate it. There is no compartmentalization. That is how these people think. And the reason I spend so much time talking about communism on the show is because too many on the right, forget about the left, they're gone. Too many on the right still think that this is a Republican versus Democrat thing, or that this is about, a little while longer, we'll have the midterms. Or you know what? 2024, we will take it all back. I don't care who the president of the United States is. I mean, I do, but that's not winning us this battle. You could have had Donald Trump for another 30 years, and it doesn't win you this battle. They have the schools. They have the culture. They have the entire federal bureaucracy. We have a mountain of work to do. Now, that doesn't mean we give up and quit, but this is not about winning an election. It's not about your local jerkwater congressman. It's not even about the president of the United States. We have an entire culture we have lost, and we have to take it back. And we have to have that mentality, or we're never going to be able to take it back ever. Ever. Get your kids out of government schools. Republican Assemblyman Brian Bergen said this: if we as parents want to explain the different identities or sexual preferences, then that's our prerogative and our choice. This is not a decision for the local school system, and this is not a decision for the legislature. He is, of course, right, but they would never let that fly. They're never going to look at your kids and say, oh, leave them alone. We'll tell them about communism later. They don't think like that. Now, quick change of gears here. I saw this headline. Capitol Police warned of a threat on Thursday, and the House cancels the day's session. In case you're curious about that, they've left up the fencing, they've left up the razor wire, they've left the National Guard in place, and now we're hearing about a new threat from domestic terrorists on the right. Of course, you've never heard of this threat, neither have I. It doesn't really exist, but what they're doing... Well, let me tell you what they're doing. What they're doing is continuing this propaganda campaign that there's this dangerous, violent group of people on the right who are ready to spring and pounce at any moment and slaughter everyone in the government and take down America. And we have got to get them first. And the reason they're on this propaganda movement is so they can use our hackish leftist FBI now, which is so sad to say, to go after your rights and my rights. They are gearing up to tell you you're a domestic terrorist. Or just start muscling you around a little bit. Hey, Bob, we saw you post that Facebook picture a few years ago with that MAGA hat on saying we won't take it anymore. You want to come down to the FBI office, just answer some questions about what you meant by that? It's coming. It's coming. The director of the FBI just said in front of the Senate, well, Antifa, they're not involved. They're not involved? All right. Now, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. A lot of you chew tobacco. It's not exactly something I'm going to judge you for. I love chewing tobacco. It was one of my favorite things. I did it for years. Yes, I know what you're saying. Ah, that's so gross. Tough. I loved it. I loved it. Take a big old dip, put it in my lip. And I loved it so much, I knew I needed to quit. I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to quit. I'm telling you, I know I'm supposed to say, oh, all I wanted was to quit. I hope you're in that place. I didn't want to quit. I loved it. But I knew I had to. And I couldn't do it without help. I tried sunflower seeds. I've told you before, I tried cigarettes. I tried it all. Jake's Mint Chew is what works. Jake's Mint Chew is tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. They have at least 11 different flavors of long cut, but when you add them all up with the CBD pouches and everything else, I really recommend the CBD pouches, by the way. You have a bunch of different flavors to choose from. It's not unhealthy. In fact, it's good for you, and it allows you to get something in there to help bridge that gap and quit. You really want to quit, or you really feel like you need to quit, go to jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse, that's J-E-S-S-E, that actually gets you 20% off. We'll be back. Well, I hope this is the first, well, I know it's the first, I hope it's the last time I ever have to bring up anal swabs on the show, but apparently China is doing this to our diplomats, the diplomats everywhere, and there's nobody in the world who knows more about China that I've ever talked to than Gordon Chang. He's the author of The Coming Collapse of China. You can find him on social media at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, I apologize for asking the question. It's just so odd. I have to know why.
Well, I think that China is trying to humiliate foreigners and specifically Americans. They can do this in other ways in terms of COVID testing, and they do not appear to be giving anal swabs to returning Chinese. So I think that this really is an anti-foreigner thing.
Help me understand this, Gordon, and maybe you don't know. Do we agree to this? We are the United States of America. We're not some jerkwater country somewhere. Don't U.S. diplomats have the option of saying, no, I'll have a normal COVID test like everyone else?
American diplomats and other Americans did not have that option. And Jesse, the State Department did not agree to this. Matter of fact, it protested this. I would have actually gone further and started expelling Chinese diplomats from the U.S. because this is a violation of every diplomatic norm, which means of the Vienna Convention, and also just good order between the two countries. We need to do more than just complain. We need to actually impose some costs on China for really just unacceptable behavior.
Gordon, how is the relationship? Is it a normal relationship? I understand they're spying on us. We're going to get to all that. They're spying on us. We're spying on them. We're enemies. But what, diplomatically, is this kind of, are these kind of games normal?
No. Administering anal swabs, not normal. I mean, that's just a violation of human dignity. So clearly, yeah, this is beyond the bounds. And this is also not just U.S. diplomats, but, you know, U.S. tourists, business people returning to China, whatever. This just should not occur.
All right. Gordon, you have some concerns, and I have some major concerns with the technology here in America, because so much of it is filtered through China, and China is so aggressive with spying and the use of technology. You have concerns about Zoom because the White House has announced that they're using Zoom meetings. This is a normal thing. You think this is a security, potential security violation?
Oh, I think that this is a gross dereliction of duty on the part of the White House. You know, the security breaches with regard to Zoom are so well known that you've got to believe that these people in the White House are completely ignorant, or they actually want China to hear what's going on at the center of American power. Americans just should be outraged at this.
The Joe Biden presidency so far, obviously I'm not gonna be a fan, that's just the way it is. I'm a far right-wing hack, I don't pretend otherwise. But as it relates to China, how has it been so far? Has it been a disaster? Has it been okay? Is he continuing some of Trump's policies? How is it?
We really won't know how they will go until after they complete their China review, which will be sometime late spring. But so far from the executive orders and the other actions of the administration, we have got to be distressed. So, for instance, the first hours in office, President Biden issued an executive order which repealed President Trump's executive order of May 1st, 2020. In May of 2020, President Trump banned China's sale of equipment for our grid. And clearly this is of utmost importance because we learned from the New York Times just a couple of days ago that China was able to turn off the lights in Mumbai in October of last year. So what Biden was doing was making us even more vulnerable to Chinese sabotage. You know, I can understand Biden wanting to review Trump's executive orders, but he should have left the protections in place because really what he was doing there was increasing our vulnerability to a crippling attack from China. There's just no defense for that, Jesse.
Okay, China and Mumbai, please explain that. I guarantee that's the first time 99% of my audience has heard about this.
Well, Mumbai is India's financial center. And through what China's able to penetrate a load management center in India and turn off the lights in that critical city. Many people speculate what's going on here, but people generally have come to the conclusion that Beijing wanted to send New Delhi a message saying, back off of our border dispute in Ladakh and other places because we could really make life miserable for you. But whatever Beijing's motivation for it was, this was just a showing of vulnerability. And this means that the Biden administration should have kept all of those protections in place that Trump actually erected.
I hear a lot about this border dispute between China and India. From what I understand, it's even gotten violent more than once. What is the border dispute there? And are they enemies as a country, or is this just a little petty border dispute?
I think that they are enemies. What's happened is in May of last year, China, in three places in Ladakh, which is high in the Himalayas, sent their forces below the line of actual control, which is the de facto border between China and India. Also, just a month or so ago, China encroached on Indian territory in Sikkim. So Beijing is made it very clear that they want to, with the use of force, grab Indian territory. And by the way, on the night of June 15th, in a sneak attack, China killed 20 Indian soldiers. And that has been an event which has seared India's political class and the people there. Now, maybe more than 20 Chinese soldiers were killed, but it's very clear who started this, and it was China.
What is their problem with each other, Gordon? Because, look, I think people in America, especially people who watch my show, they're vaguely familiar with China, certainly not on your level of expertise. Very few people know anything about India. Is this a political rift, just a territory rift? What's the deal?
Well, this is something that could blow up Asia and maybe even the rest of the world because it's that serious. You have not just China and India. You also have Pakistan. So those three countries with nukes. But China's problem with India is that it's India. It's a democracy. You know, Beijing wants to dismember it. Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, actually has been talking about how China is the world's only sovereign state, which, by the way, Jesse, means that not only is India at risk, it's also the United States, because they believe that we're a colony of China. And we saw last year China not just talk about this stuff, but actually was inciting violence on American streets. They did that this year in connection with the June 6th riot at Capitol Hill. They're inciting Americans to overthrow our government. And clearly what we've got right now is a situation where they've called us an enemy. They did that in May 2019, and we Americans are just not responding.
What do you mean June 6th? What was China's involvement with June 6th?
They were using
They
were using social media platforms to encourage Americans to engage in violence. This is something that they were doing last year as well. And last year, they were very effective at it. Radio Free Asia reports that the Chinese military actually sent an intelligence unit into the now closed Houston consulate. And from there, they were using artificial intelligence and big data to identify Americans likely to participate in Black Lives Matter and Antifa protests. And then through TikTok, they sent them videos on how to riot. That's more than just subversion, Jesse. That's an act of war. And that's not the only thing that they did which constitutes an act of war last year against the U.S. So what they were doing on January 6th, both before and after, that also constitutes warlike acts against us because they're trying to overthrow the American government and urging Americans to use force to accomplish that goal.
What did the Trump administration do about it? I mean, Trump was very upfront about it. They knew he's been upfront about China the whole time. They knew the Black Lives Matter Antifa stuff was bad. Surely he picked up on that. What did he do?
Well, he closed the Houston consulate. Now, when the State Department ordered the closure of that facility, it said that Houston was being used as a hub for espionage. But that was true of the all five Chinese consulates. I think they closed Houston because of the Radio Free Asia report that I just mentioned about basing the Chinese military on our soil and urging Americans to riot. I don't know that. It's just a guess. But the Trump administration took a number of measures against China with regard to this. But obviously, they're not enough because they continue to do this.
Gordon Chang, thank you so much, man. That was fascinating, as always. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
That's great stuff right there. All right, we'll be back. I'm anxious to see what Ari has to say about my prediction. Bringing him right away. Ari Hoffman, he is the associate editor and the Seattle correspondent of the Post-Millennial. Ari, I have to disclose, I think Cuomo is going to survive this whole thing. I think people that think he's going to be gone are crazy because he's Cuomo and the Cuomos run that state. Am I wrong?
I think you're 100% right. I mean, there's this guy named Bill Clinton who's still around, and people seem to think he was going down for that, and he never did. There's a lot of other people around who they thought were going down for things, and they never did. So why do they think he's going down for this? What this is really about, it's about the nursing homes, but they can't say it's about the nursing homes, because if they do that, they're going to have to start looking at every Democrat governor who did the exact same thing, like Gretchen Whitmer. Like Governor Jay Inslee. They're going to have to start looking at all of them who did the exact same thing.
Why were the results in New York even worse than places like Michigan and like Washington, like you just pointed out? I mean, those other governors are idiots too. And like you said, they did the same thing. But did Cuomo do it just worse? Is it a different population in New York? Do we know?
We don't know what the numbers are yet in Washington State, for example. So right now we know that Governor Jay Inslee gave the exact same order. And yet when you go on the Department of Health for Washington State, they don't disclose any of the elderly care facility or nursing home numbers. So for all we know, per capita, it was worse here. We just don't know because we don't have the numbers. Don't forget, if Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, hadn't been so ambitious and wanted Cuomo's job, at least that's my theory, we probably never would have gotten the numbers out of New York either, and we'd still be sitting here asking for them.
Who is this Letitia James for people who don't know? Is she some hardcore right-winger who's going to bring freedom back to New York?
Oh, I doubt that. I don't think there's that many hardcore right-wingers left in New York. I mean, I live out in Seattle now, and I'm from New York originally. No, she's a politician, and she's an attorney general. And don't forget, all of these governors love to cite their times being attorney general. That's usually the stepladder of how it goes. So if she was going to throw her hat in the ring, it seems like now is the time. She is a hardcore leftist. Odds are she's probably worse than Cuomo, but this is a good opportunity for her to be more ambitious.
I have to ask about Seattle, and this is just a personal question. I apologize if it doesn't apply to anyone else, but I've been there when I was a kid, and I'm in love with the Pacific Northwest. I grew up in Montana, but, you know, Portland, Seattle, all that stuff, it was awesome. And I've heard Seattle was just an absolute sinkhole now, and that sucks. One, is that true? And two, when did that happen? Because I loved that city.
I loved it too. That's why I moved here out of New York. I want you to envision New York in the 1970s and 80s. That's the direction we're headed in right now. There's homeless encampments everywhere. There's crime everywhere. We doubled the homicide rate from last year, and we beat New York. We had an armed occupation of the city this summer. People seem to be forgetting about that. We still have regular riots. They're planning them for the 9th and the 13th. In Washington, D.C., they're talking about the Proud Boys and they're talking about the 3%ers. Meanwhile, here we see on the social media of Antifa, on BLM, that they are planning these events and nobody is doing anything about it. Is there a way back for Seattle? I think it has to hit rock bottom, and I don't think we're there yet.
Are people leaving? I'm assuming people are leaving, right?
Well, I think Governor Jay Inslee and Mayor Jenny Durkan should be nominated for Real Estate Brokers of the Year for Florida, Texas, and Idaho.
All right, rock bottom. I'm not sure there is a rock bottom, Ari, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but I genuinely love American cities. Now, I'm more of a country guy, but I love it all. I love New York City. I openly admit it's one of my favorite places in the world. Is there a rock bottom, or are these people such committed communists that there's no amount of death and destruction that will prompt them to change their ways?
I don't know what rock bottom is. You would think having an armed occupation for almost a month of the city where multiple black teenagers were killed was rock bottom, but that wasn't it. You would think them trying to do it again was rock bottom, but that wasn't it. You would think defunding the police and having crime skyrocket 250% would have been rock bottom, but that wasn't it. I don't know what our rock bottom looks like, and every day more and more people are leaving the state. So the people who are left behind are the ones who can't afford to move and the ones who support this crazy agenda, and I don't know what their end game is.
All right. Well, let's hope the good people who are leaving are coming to one of these. Let's see. What did Joe Biden call him yesterday? Play that Biden clip.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters. Follow the science. Wash your hands, hot water, do it frequently, wear a mask, and stay socially distanced. And I know you all know that. I wish the heck some of our elected officials knew it.
Neanderthal thinking. Let's hope the good people are coming to those states like mine with Neanderthal thinking.
I want you to think about this for a second. Imagine Donald Trump had called a governor in a wheelchair a Neanderthal. What would have been the reaction in the national press? Meanwhile, silence that Joe Biden did it. Just think about that for 2 seconds. Consider the double standard in the media and think about how awful it is that nobody's calling this out, that nobody's saying anything. Now, mind you, I don't think he meant it that way at all. But for Trump, there would have been no apology. Nothing would have satisfied them for that.
All right, I opened up the show talking about Biden, and I have another theory I have to run by you. I have always thought that they were going to keep him around for a year. It's just a number I picked up out of my head. I figured it wouldn't be so obvious that he couldn't do the job. Give him a year. Thanks, Joe. Pat you on the back and chuck him out the back door. I'm now thinking back to the 25th Amendment stuff Pelosi did in October. I'm looking at a bipartisan group of senators to rein in his war powers. I look at his disastrous press conferences. They're pulling the plug on him when he takes questions. I think they're prepping the ground to dump this guy earlier than I thought.
I think 100%. I think the absolute worst job in that White House is the food taster, because who knows how much longer he's got there or somebody's not coming after his job. I mean, Kamala Harris is a very ambitious individual, and perhaps they have some kind of deal, a la the West Wing. Oh, one term, and then I'll got it afterwards, just so he could put it on his tombstone or resume or whatever it is. We shouldn't want anything to happen to the president. But the question is, do the Democrats want something to happen to the president?
All right, should I? And I don't mean physical. I obviously don't want Joe Biden to come to any harm. But look, I hate Kamala Harris as much as the next guy. I mean, even Democrats hate Kamala Harris. I want a mentally functional commander-in-chief. As an American, I find it embarrassing when that man speaks. Am I wrong for that?
Well, let's be perfectly fair for a second. There were people in this country who felt the same way about the person who was in the office before him, and the one before him, and the one before him. If we go down that road, then it's a never-ending cycle. And what we really have to say is, yeah, he's the commander of chief. Do we wish he would do a better job? Yeah. Should we call for him to do a better job? Yeah. He did, actually, don't forget, he had Kamala Harris taking his international phone calls. At least she puts on a better face than he does cognitively. But at the same time, it's not a good place for any of us to be in right now.
Are we, and I hate to even ask, but are we, surely he's not going to take any foreign trips. I had this thought last night, you can call it a nightmare. I'm laying in bed and I think to myself, presidents have to go on these long foreign trips where they give public speeches. They have to go in rooms with other world leaders and negotiate on behalf of the United States of America. And I'm sorry, man, call me crazy. I'd rather have Kamala Harris doing that.
I'm not going to disagree with you there, but I think you should be thankful for COVID, because nobody's traveling right now. And I think now they can do everything over Zoom. But at the same time, you really think that this guy is going to be the one to tell Iran to back down, given the fact that they just launched more rockets, or I'm sorry, their terrorist-backed organizations launched more rockets at a U.S. base. When they tried that stuff with Trump, he dropped the mother of all bombs. He killed Soleimani, and that was that. We've had 2 attacks in 2 weeks now. They know that nothing's going to happen. Joe Biden's going to get upset and launch a missile at a camel and Syria and accomplish nothing. They know they can get away with it. It's factored into their calculations. This is going to continue, and this public face is not good for any of us.
Are we worried about something domestic like that now? We forget it wasn't that long ago. There was all kinds of radical Islamic terror domestically here in America. Then that really got cleaned up. And now, of course, we're after those dangerous criminals who stood in the Capitol on January 6th. Are we worried about a resurgence of all that old stuff?
100%. I think back to the Obama years. You had the Boston Marathon bombing. You had the Fort Hood shooting. Item after item, tragedy after tragedy, because terrorists were enabled and knew they could get away with it with no repercussions, no ramifications. I mean, if not for local law enforcement, we may not have solved some of those things. Don't forget, the Fort Hood shooting was classified as workplace violence. And all this cancel culture that's going on right now, what are they going to classify, God forbid, the next tragedy as?
Ari Hoffman, thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, anytime.
You know how I've told you a bunch of times that the internet is a great place? There are more clever people out there on the internet than you can possibly count. Well, hang on, you're going to want to see this video. We'll be right back. I don't make it a habit of promoting anything else but myself, because I'm a selfish jerk who only cares about himself. But the Babylon Bee is hilarious. It's this online website, it's this parody site, and they are constantly churning out money material day and night. Babylon Bee came out with a Cuomo video on the deaths in the nursing homes in... Enjoy.
There's been a murder.
Someone say murder? I'm on the case. Tonight on Cuomo, assisted death facilities. So many bodies. Who could do such a thing?
You could.
To solve the crime, we gotta get into the head of a man capable of something like this. His wants, his desires, his occupation.
Governor of New York, and it's you.
There's something that bothers me. How can there be this much death and not a single clue?
There's a lot of clues.
And who do the clues point to?
You!
It's never that simple.
I have concrete evidence.
Well, I guess the case is unsolvable. And just one more thing. Buy my new book.
I wish it wasn't true. All right. See you tomorrow.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.